Last week, we began a sermon series that we're calling Christmas on the Road. And we understand that the holidays typically mean that we're going to be traveling. A lot of people are traveling on the holidays. I want you to look up at the screen at this picture. This is something that we have all seen. These are reindeer. Now, notice that they have antlers. Now, here's what you may not know. Male and female reindeer have antlers. But around the end of the month of November, males' antlers fall off. The females keep their antlers all the way through spring until they have their calves. Now, every picture that I have ever seen of Santa's sleigh is where he's being pulled by reindeer that have antlers. And it's starting to make sense. If he's going to get all over the world in one single night, they can't be vain and not be able to stop and ask for directions. Because holiday travel, I believe, is harder on women, I think, than it is on men. When we would travel when my boys were very little, my job was very easy. All I had to do was pack the van. But Shannon, she would be the one turning around and getting out the Cheerios or getting out the Goldfish crackers or reading the same story over and over and over as we traveled. And she would be the one cleaning up spit up, or she would be the one changing the diapers. And she did all the work. I just kept my hands on the steering wheel and looked forward. And there was no question that by the time we got to where we were going, she was the most exhausted. And there is no question when that young couple made the trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem, who it was that was the most exhausted. Can you imagine how Mary felt when she found out that some emperor that she is never going to meet has declared a census and her pledged is from Bethlehem? So she, at 9 months, has to get there on the softest donkey back that she can find. In fact, have you ever noticed, as you read through the biblical narratives about Mary, how much time she spends on the road? When she finds out that she's going to have a baby and that her cousin Elizabeth is already pregnant, she hits the road and she goes all the way down to Judea to visit with her. And she stays with her for a season. And then she hits the road and she travels back up to Nazareth. At 9 months pregnant, she hits the road and travels all the way down to Bethlehem. After just a week of giving birth, she leaves Bethlehem and goes over to Jerusalem to present the baby in the temple. And then she comes back to Bethlehem and she finds out a very powerful king wants her baby dead. So they hit the road and they head over to Egypt. Then they hit the road back to Bethlehem and then back to Nazareth. Every time you read about Mary in the Gospels early on, she is on the road. And maybe that's very appropriate. Because faith belongs on the road. Saving faith is moving faith. The pleasing life is the pilgriming life. Throughout Scripture, there is this understanding that the faith that God is looking for is going to take you places. The Bible never asks us to sit by faith. We are called to walk by faith. Now think about this. Who is it in Scripture that is constantly held up as a model of what saving faith looks like? It's Abraham. Well, what in particular has Abraham done that models saving faith? Well, the answer is he was always willing to move. He lived his whole life in a tent because his faith was always asking him to move. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. It says, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as an inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. Abraham moved out of his comfort zone because he trusted that the promise of God would come true. The promise of God was worth more to him than staying in place. When I say God's promise, I don't mean God's wish list. I mean the power and the will of God to create a future out of what has been barren in the past. A situation that looks irredeemable, a situation that looks irreparable, and God speaks into that, and God announces his will and his power to create all kinds of new possibilities. That is promise. Now, faith is the capacity to embrace that announced future with so much passion that you will pursue it no matter what it takes or where it takes you. That is why, and you've heard me say this before, that Jesus never asked anybody to accept him. People say you need to accept Jesus. But Jesus said, follow me. Saving faith is moving faith. You can't follow God and stay where you are. I think this is why Mary was so highly favored. Because she didn't just believe in God. She believed God. There is a difference, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. She believed God to a degree that she was willing to take a journey that her belief would require her to take. And I believe God wants all of us to learn from Mary. I think God wants all of us to have a Merry Christmas. Because Christmas is supposed to be a moving experience. Write this down. Mary moved in the direction of the promise. See, what I love about Dr. Luke in his gospel is he does very early, right as he starts, he makes this deliberate contrast in the way that Mary responds to the news of a supernatural birth, to the way that Zechariah the priest responded. See, Zechariah and Elizabeth were an old couple that always wanted to have children. They were never able to have children, so they had given up that dream. And we find Zechariah serving in the temple, and the angel Gabriel comes to him and says, your wife is going to have a baby. God is answering your prayers. Now notice how Luke records his response in verse 18 of chapter 1. Zechariah asks the angel, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years. And the angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I've been sent to you to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day that this happens because you didn't believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. So he's in the temple and he's serving the Lord, and the angel Gabriel shows up and says, God has heard your prayers, Zechariah. God is answering your prayers. Your wife is going to have a baby. And Zechariah says, shut up. And Gabriel says, no, you shut up. And he did. But I understand his dilemma, because believing that an old woman can give birth, get pregnant, well, that's a huge step of faith. And I wonder how much bigger of a step of faith is it to believe that a virgin can get pregnant. That's what the angel told Mary. Look at what he said. Julie read this at the very beginning, but we're going to look at it again. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. Now, do you think that Mary understood this? I mean, do you think that she grasped the idea of conception by the Holy Spirit? 2,000 years later, hundreds of systematic theologies later, we still don't understand this. This is a complete mystery. But she does not base her response on her ability to comprehend. She bases her response on God's ability to keep his promises. The angel said, nothing is impossible with God. Mary knew her Bible. And if you read in the Old Testament, you see the song that she sang, by the way, it's just littered with Old Testament references. For nothing is impossible with God, that phrase, that's the very same phrase that the angel told Abraham and Sarah when they were going to have a baby. And he kept that promise. You see, Mary had to believe before she could conceive. Think about that. It is mind-blowing to me that the God of heaven, who before the creation of the world has a redemptive plan to redeem the entire cosmos, and it all hinges on the consent of a teenage girl. Over 400 years ago at Christmas time, Martin Luther preached a sermon, and he said that there are three Christmas miracles. Number one, that God became a man. Number two, that a virgin conceived. Number three, that Mary believed all this. And he said, that was the greatest miracle. So Mary takes off to Judea to see her cousin Elizabeth. And the Bible says when she got there that Elizabeth said, the baby in my womb jumped for joy at the coming of the baby you carry. Just a side note. The very first person on earth to rejoice at the coming of baby Jesus was a baby in a womb. Remember that the next time you hear propaganda that life in the womb is not so important. She conceived in her womb because she believed in her heart that nothing is impossible with God. And she moved in his direction. Look at what Elizabeth said to Mary in verse 45 of chapter 1 of Luke. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. I told you earlier that there's a difference between believing God and believing in God. See, everybody in Nazareth believed in God. I think that the reason that Mary was highly favored was because she believed the Lord would do what he says. Many people don't. It's why they hoard. And they're not generous with their stuff. Even though God has promised that if you're faithful and you're generous when you give offerings, you will have returned to you a blessing. But they don't believe that. They believe in God, but they don't believe God, so they stay stuck in their greed. I have visited with hundreds of Christians who are sexually immoral. Even though God has clearly said in his word that the sexual relationship is supposed to be an illustration of the covenant faithfulness that God has with his church. God will bless purity. He will honor purity. See, these people believe in God. They just don't believe him when he says that purity is the best way. I have talked to many people who have been deeply, deeply, deeply hurt by another person. And Jesus says, you forgive them, you love them, and you bless the person that hurt you, and your reward will be great in heaven. And they believe in God. They just don't believe that. And they will come to church just like this every week. And they'll bring that hurt. And they'll bring that anger. And they'll bring that bitterness. And they just stay stuck in it. Stuck because they're afraid that if they move in his direction, that he won't show up. Or stuck because they're afraid if they move in his direction, he will show up. You see, Mary moved knowing that the road was going to be very hard. Some years ago, a psychologist named Thomas Holmes developed a stress test that's become very well known. And the idea is that there are certain kind of life events that just naturally create stress. So, for example, losing a job. They would assign to that 35 points of stress on this scale that they have made. Moving to a new city, well, that's 25 stress points. Getting married, 50 stress points. Going through the Christmas holidays, 14 stress points. Well, this study indicated if you get up to about 200 points of stress in your life, you are very near a nervous breakdown. Well, a woman named Bridget Kuhns took that test and she applied it to Mary and the situations that she faced as she gave birth to Jesus. 40 points of stress for finding out that you're pregnant. Another 20 points for it being an unplanned pregnancy. Well, how many points can you assign for having to tell this to your friends, to your family? Having to plan a quick wedding, moving to a new city, going through birth in an undesirable location, finding out that there are powerful forces that want to arrest your family and kill your baby. They added all of that up and they attributed 424 stress points to Mary. Mary is the bravest person in the Bible. Now the angel said, "You are blessed. You are highly favored." What does that blessed life look like? Well, it meant getting pregnant before you're even married. It meant a very difficult trip to a city where you have no family, no friends to give birth in a very unpleasant place. It meant a fugitive lifestyle, always packing up quickly to stay just one step ahead of the authorities that are wanting to hurt your baby. It meant lifelong poverty. It meant a lifelong subject of crude innuendos about your morals. It meant years as a single parent. It meant having children and other children that looked up to the oldest and had issues with him. It meant watching the very people that you've lived around all of your life wanting to throw your boy out of town because he comes home and he preaches his first sermon there. And finally, it meant being an eyewitness to your son's murder. That's the road for Mary. Now you understand why when they take the baby Jesus to the temple and there's this old man, Simeon, and he prophesies over the baby and he looks right at Mary and he says, "A sword will pierce your soul." Maybe that's why the very first words of the angel to Mary were, "Do not be afraid." Because when God calls you to follow him, he does not promise a downhill road with no bumps, no problems. See, Mary had to make a choice. Is what God promises worth leaving the safety and the security that I have in my life right now? But look at how she decided. Verse 38. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And instead of praying the most common prayer that most of us pray, "Thy will be changed, God," she prayed the greatest prayer in the world, "Thy will be done." And by the way, she taught that prayer to her boy. And a prayer like that will take you places, like a cross. I want to be very vulnerable with you for a moment and tell you about a dark period for Shannon and me. I have never shared this from the pulpit, but about a year and a half ago, we were really struggling, and it was a very hard time. And it had been a hard and dark period for a long time, and it was because of my oldest son. And I had prayed, and I had prayed till I did not know what else to say. And one day I prayed, "Lord, I don't know what to do anymore." And I don't talk like this. You know me, but I mean this. I heard the Lord. And the Lord said, "Let me have him." And I'm being honest and vulnerable with you. My immediate response was no. And in the next moment, I felt the gentle but very firm rebuke of the Holy Spirit. I said no because I was afraid that if God took over, it could take him and us down a road that I did not want to go. And so I repented. Because you cannot pray, "Thy will be done," only if it's down a road I want to go down. Have you ever just handed your life over so completely to God that you're willing to go wherever it is that he takes you? You see, Mary had a master before she became a mother. In fact, she was the first follower of Jesus. Mary moved over and she let Christ move in. It wasn't just that Mary was able to believe that God could do the impossible. She went farther than that. She was available for God to do the impossible in her. So Mary became the very first person that Jesus lived inside. And I believe that there is room on her road for more of us to travel. I believe that that announcement that Gabriel made to Mary was actually a foreshadowing of the invitation to all of us. God wants to send his son to live in all of us. You see, you believe that up here. You believe in the theology of an indwelling Christ, but do you believe it? Do you believe in the reality of Jesus in you? I suspect for many of us that our lack of faith is aborting what the Holy Spirit is trying to conceive in us. So we stay stuck in what we have decided for ourselves. That's impossible. I cannot break out of this sin. I cannot get away from this addiction. Yes, you can. Because Jesus lives in you. I can't forgive him. I'll never get over this. I can never love him again. Maybe you can't. Jesus can. And Jesus lives in you. Do we believe Christmas? Or do we believe in it? Jesus did not stay where he was so that you would not have to stay where you are. Or as Paul wrote in Colossians 1, the mystery that's been hidden for the ages and generations is Christ in you. The hope of glory. See, Christmas is more than just the news that Jesus is born. It is the good news that Jesus can be born in you. Because God wants everyone to have a merry Christmas. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts, the blessing of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Would you stand up? I want to pray. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the heavenly angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us. Abide in us. Our Lord, Emmanuel.